Welcome to the Inside Golden State Politics Podcast, our weekly exchange of views designed to make the dark world of politics lively and amusing. I'm Bill Boyarsky, the former city editor and columnist for the Los Angeles Times.
And I'm Sherry Bibich-Jeffy, self-styled media maven and retired professor of public policy communication at USC. And today, I'm talking to you from my alternate universe. Bill?
Well, I'm talking to you from my alternate universe a few miles away from yours. the joy of house arrest.
Yeah.
I love it.
My dog doesn't.
You know, election by mail, voting by mail is becoming a very hot topic for two reasons. One, the coronavirus interfering with voting, and two, it's become a partisan issue. Sherry, tell us a little bit about it. What's going on with that?
Well, voting by mail is not a new issue. It's been around since the Civil War. Well, absentee voting has been around since the Civil War when it was first introduced to allow both the Union soldiers and the Confederate soldiers to cast their ballots while they were on the battlefield. And in California, we've been way ahead of the curve. Absentee voting early on meant if you wanted to vote, you weren't going to be around on election day. You could request a ballot and vote absentee. First, you had to basically either be really sick or the favorite excuse, out of town. And then you were able, and in some cases disabled. Then you could get your absentee ballot. In the 80s, 1980s, not the 1880s, California became the first state to offer what I love because I am a permanent absentee ballot voter. All you had to do was sign up and you could get an absentee ballot delivered to
you. Did you never change your residence from New Jersey?
Oh, sure. But I was here.
You're like Trump.
Oh, no. Because, we can get into this later. But I have to tell you that Donald Trump voted by mail, not only in the 2018 midterms, but in this primary this year. But this year he voted in Florida. But we'll talk about why that's so hysterical a little later on. It's important that California was the first to allow a permanent absentee voter. It makes it so much easier to vote. And that was signed by Governor Jerry Brown. Then in 2016, and people say this is one of the reasons it was such a mess in LA County with long, long lines of voters and ballots being uncounted. It was passed by the legislature, signed into law, what was called the Voters' Choice Act. And it opened up everything. Everybody gets a ballot. You can vote absentee, if you will. We became, again, in the vanguard of easing the ability of voters to vote. And Californians right now, nationally and statewide, are in the forefront. And they're all Democrats, by the way, of the debate over whether or not in the wake of the coronavirus, we should open up and make voting easier by voting by mail, by extending early voting, by other measures, which would allow voters choices on how to vote. So they don't have to stand in line and they don't have to physically distance themselves and they don't have to be afraid to get out there to vote.
Well, you know, I can see, I think that's generally a good idea. And it's in line with the whole philosophy of voting in California, which for many, many years has been to make it easy for people to vote and rather than, as in some states, make it hard. But, you know, I can see some problems with this and they're
like what?
Say they're mechanical problems. All right. verifying signatures. How do I know? I go in, as I understand it, I get an absentee ballot, a vote by mail ballot at my house, and then I vote and I sign it and I sign it. Now, how do the inspectors, the government inspectors or voting officials or whoever, how do they know that that's really my signature? Maybe it's someone else's signature.
Okay, wait.
Well, I'm just saying that. Is that a problem or not?
I don't know. It would depend on who can read and who can't read, I guess. But you sign when you register. And there is a problem. For example, for a long time, I was Sherry B. Jeffy.
Right.
But then when I and I kept thinking to myself, now, did I sign as Sherry B. Jeffy or Sherry Bevitz Jeffy? Well, it turned out I guessed right. I'm Sherry Bevitz Jeffy on my registration. But it has happened that people have signed, you recognize the signature, but it's not a complete signature. Then
part of
the form that is being argued for is to allow the voter and the poll worker to compare and verify, to change, to cure.
So my ballot goes down, my ballot goes over to the wherever they count them. It's in Downey or some Norwalk. It's in Norwalk
now, yeah.
Yeah, wherever they count them. And they look at my thing and they look at my ballot and I signed it Bill Boyarsky.
Uh huh.
Wow, but the year before I signed it B. William Boyarsky. So what they have to do is put my ballot aside and they have to call me up, I guess, and say, hey, Boyarsky, are you Bill Boyarsky or are you B. William? Your ballots don't match. Well, otherwise, there would be a question about my ballot. And the reason I bring this up, this ballot by ballot explanation and discussion, is there was a famous election in our called Bush versus Gore. And that came down to a ballot by ballot argument in Florida over every vote. So I could see a situation where if there's a close vote in, you know, either in my congressional district or for president or whatever, all these decisions, my decision to sign it Bill Boyarsky rather than B. William Boyarsky could become a subject of litigation, as it was in Bush versus Gore. Now, I may be far-fetched, Sherry. I mean, you know, I may be looking for trouble when none exists. But hey, you got to think of those things, and we didn't think of them during Bush versus Gore, and they became very important.
And they are very rare.
Very rare.
Pardon? Huh?
Hanging chads.
See, but vote by mail doesn't necessarily mean that's going to be a problem.
But it was just there's one other thing that bothers me, and I won't keep nagging about this, but it's got sort of a name that sounds suspicious, even though it's a common practice, and it's called ballot harvesting.
Correct.
Ballot harvesting is everybody, let's say everybody at a home for the aged votes, and they've authorized someone to take their vote down to Norwalk.
Or just to a mailbox if it's whatever.
So this young person who works for the Democratic Party or the Republican Party picks up all the votes at the home for the aged and takes it down to Norwalk. Now, can you assure me that there's been no funny business on the trip from the home for the aged to the vote registrar of voters in Norwalk? I mean,
well, if they did what they were supposed to do, the voters did what they were supposed to do and put it in the sleeve and put it in the envelope and sign the envelope and seal the envelope, somebody's going to figure there's been some hanky panky going on if the envelope's been open. And if they don't figure it out, then the voter deserves, the people who collected the votes, one for them, zero for the election workers. I mean, well, that's I don't understand.
You think I'm looking for trouble where trouble don't exist?
Well, it exists, but very rarely. Cheating is not rampant. The most recent example of fraud in ballot harvesting on the congressional level that I've read about happened in the 2018 congressional elections. And it happened because a Republican operative who was part of an operation
that was in North Carolina
engaged in that in North Carolina fudged ballots.
Right. Cheated. He cheated.
He cheated. Ooh, ha, ha. And then because of that, North Carolina enacted, the legislature enacted some very restrictive requirements, including having to have witnesses witness your ballot. And now, in the face of the coronavirus, the Democrats are, and it was almost a unanimous decision on the part of the legislature, bipartisan, to enact these strict qualifications. But now the Democrats, because of the coronavirus problem, are arguing that these restrictions must be lifted. And the Republicans are arguing that the only reason that the Democrats want this to happen is they want to do ballot harvesting fraud. I mean, that's why I am in my own alternate universe. There's a whole lot going on now that I just cannot comprehend or want to deal with.
Well, here's something you can comprehend. What's the relationship between the coronavirus and this election? I saw that in Wisconsin, where they made it very difficult for people to vote, and they had long lines at the polling booth. Anyway, several people got sick, and I think a couple died from coronavirus that they caught while voting.
19
so far.
Is
this a big deal?
That people die or?
No, well, it's always a big deal when people die. I mean, that they die on their way. They die because there were such long lines at the
voting
booth.
Sure, it's a big deal. The death of any one person for any reason that could be dealt with is a big deal. Seven of the cases, I gather, were in Milwaukee, which had real problems in terms of social distancing and other breaches of coronavirus protocol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, directly, they are directly related.
Yeah.
To this, the environment, the atmosphere, the process of that Wisconsin primary. I mean, that's not a little thing. Psychologically, I would guess there are going to be a lot of voters who are going to be, if indeed we're still in the throes of this, who are going to be very afraid to go out to vote. It becomes, for very many people, and part of the debate, an argument over, do you protect your health? Or do you protect your right to vote? Do you have to choose between them? I mean, that to me is the bottom line in all of this debate. And
I think that's a very convincing argument for voting by mail, and the caveats that I brought up earlier are true, but they're not as important as this current health emergency that we're facing. The guy who really hates voting by mail is its frequent user, President Trump. Yes.
Well, he
hates it.
He thinks
that if you have voting by mail, it's a sure ticket for a Democratic victory. Now, the statistics don't prove that right.
Exactly. No, I mean, oh my. I mean, there are red states like Utah, which is a fairly conservative Republican state, and it has vote by mail. All vote by mail. You can't tell me that Republicans don't get elected in Utah.
No.
They do.
Right.
They do. But I will, and the irony of it is, for a long time, the National Republican Party has had a very sophisticated get out the vote by mail campaign, a very sophisticated data operation. For a long time, it was far ahead of that of the Democratic Party, though the Democrats are catching up.
They caught up in Wisconsin, because the New York Times found with their study of precincts that actually the vote by mail people tended to be Democratic. Oh, and I have a whole theory about, but Republicans are just great at manipulating elections. They're incredible. I mean, these people, I credit USC. See, I think all these Republican dirty tricksters, many of them went to USC.
Oh.
And they must.
My students, Bill.
Well, did you? Well, I want to. What did you actually teach in that course?
How to steal elections. What else?
Hey, speaking of stealing elections, I know one guy who's being held prisoner in his basement in Wilmington, Delaware.
Oh, my goodness.
Joe Biden. He must be worried. Whatever happened to Biden? I never hear anything about him anymore.
Well, that's because A, he's not the incumbent president who can commandeer media coverage for 2 to 3 hours a year, a la Fidel Castro, if you will. He doesn't even have a job. He's not part of the leadership of Corona policy. You know, if he has got to be, he's beginning to become more aggressive in reaching out to the media in order to at least have short interviews now and then. And he's also, I gather, has really begun to raise some money. And in the last quarter, he outraised for that quarter the president, but he is still $187 million behind the aggregate amount raised overall by Trump and the Republican Party. What happened to Joe Biden is the campaign was over early on the Democratic side, so the media isn't covering any. The campaign was frozen in time. The attention of the public and the media has shifted over to the coronavirus, i.e. the national leadership, elected leadership, and the governors on the statewide level, and several mayors on the local level. And there's Biden in his home studio in the basement of his Delaware home.
He's just like we are.
Well, yes, but I think more people are listening to us.
One thing that's happened is the voice of the Democratic Party is now the governor of New York.
You know, to some extent, there is some truth in that. But let me ask you, is it the voice overall of the Democratic Party? Is that the way people who aren't so into this as we are view Andrew Cuomo?
Well,
and wasn't there a little kumbaya session yesterday between the president and the Democratic governor of New York?
Well, that's right. You know, and you know, he is the voice of the Democratic Party, but he may not be the voice of the Democratic Party that's going to win elections. You know, I mean, the guy is a very New York big city kind of guy. Now, Biden, on the other hand, and I was just watching one of his rare appearances on television
Oh.
the other day. You have to be really quick with the controls to catch him. I was watching. Now, he looked very good, and he spoke very clearly. Mm-hmm. And he was criticizing the president for his conduct of the coronavirus issue. Now, I don't understand. I've been around these campaign consultants for much of my career, and you have too. Now, they're supposed to be really smart people, right?
My husband was, yes.
Well, your husband, but your husband was a rare exception.
He was a rare breed.
I do not agree that
all campaign consultants, sorry, all my friends who are campaign consultants, are really smart people.
They're all smart people, very smart people. Why can't they figure out a way of getting Biden on television? I mean, why doesn't Biden living on MSNBC?
They cannot wave that magic wand. Who says yes or no to whether or not you can appear? And everybody is focused like a laser, by and large, although they're moving a little bit back to politics, on the coronavirus crisis. I mean, how do you compete with that?
Well, I'm not in that business, but I'm just saying that Biden's staff is really letting him down by not thinking of a way that you can't, that he's not on television. Look at MSNBC, the Fox News of the Democratic Party. Every Democrat gets on there. It's impossible not to be on the Rachel Maddow show. I mean, how could Biden avoid being on the Rachel Maddow show? And why would she say no? She'd say, yes, bring him on. He should be living on that show.
I think you need to talk to his people, Bill.
Well, I'm not going to.
Because I don't know what the decision-making process is.
Don't you think I have a good point, though? He's being let down by his staff, and he's also.
Or the staff has said, let's do this. And he is saying, no, this is coronavirus time. I don't want to be seen as beating up. And maybe, as the debate is raging around some of my friends, maybe he's just decided that he'd just let Donald Trump hang himself. Just give all the air and let him stumble.
That's an interesting point. You know, he's going to use a boxing analogy, and I think using boxing sports analogies shows how shallow political writers are. The only part of the paper that they, or the only thing they look up aside from political news is sports news. So what Biden's doing is the old Muhammad Ali tactic, rope-a-dope, just hanging back, going back, and letting Trump punch himself out, and then come in there in the fifth and sixth round and just beat the hell out of him.
Or maybe not even having to beat the hell out of him, because Trump's already beat the hell out of himself. It's a risk.
It's a risk. You know, some smart campaign manager, it may have been your late husband, Doug, who told me, when a candidate says his election is going to depend on the opponent screwing up, he says, that means you've got a losing candidate. I mean, if you're going to depend on your opponent screwing things up and then you're going to coast to victory, you got a losing campaign. And the best example of that was many, many years ago, when Ronald Reagan came down the pike and the Democratic Party thought he'd be the
in the
perfect.
Republican Party, when he was running for governor, the Democrats all thought he'd be an easier mark than the mayor of San Francisco. And they got what they wanted. You know, beware of getting what you wish for. But let me tell you that you can't, you've got a losing campaign if that's all you put your money on. You know, you can't only wait for your opponent to screw up. You can screw up, but if you don't have an alternative, ask Hillary Clinton. You can't win anyway. You've got to have a campaign. You've got to have a message.
Tell me, what should be Biden's message?
I'm not Donald Trump. I don't know what else is going to get anybody this.
So you favor the rope-a-dope-a, let him punch himself out approach.
I do. And Biden's out there, but he's out there on the web. He's out there on social media. He's holding digital town halls. He's working within, interestingly, the Democratic establishment too, getting involved with the big donors. He can't get involved with the super PACs themselves, but he can raise money through the internet up to, what is it, $2,800 per? And you know that super PACs, even though they cannot by law coordinate with the campaign, are copacetic with the direction the campaign is going in. And there's money coming in.
Well, you know, he's four or five points ahead in all the polls.
I haven't looked recently, yeah, but that's about.
They're pretty consistent. So you think his campaign's in good shape or bad shape?
What campaign? I don't see it.
Well, you don't see it.
I can't judge it. I would say that.
I'd say he's got something to worry about.
I just don't know. Nothing. There is not anymore any conventional wisdom. Hasn't been for at least 5-10 years in terms of politics. But certainly at a time like this, who can judge anything?
Right, especially when you got Trump holding his two-hour monologues at the end of the day.
That's right. His replacement for his rallies. And that's what they become.
I was watching him look at Pence the other day, and Pence had just got back from a trip. He really looked like he really hated this guy. Like, he's... Who is this guy with white hair? Let's get rid of him. he really had a look. He hates it when anyone else spotlight.
I believe in the latest round of polling, the approval rating for Pence on the issue of the coronavirus is higher than that of Donald Trump. And certainly Dr. Fauci's is, and the CDC, and the medical community. In fact, I think Trump is probably at the bottom of that totem pole. I don't think Trump's really happy about that.
I think Pence made a serious mistake when he thanked the American people for their efforts in this regard, and he particularly singled out the Machinists Union in Wisconsin for what they're doing. He got a look from the boss.
I saw that. He was pretty angry, wasn't Trump?
He was pretty angry. Hey, Sherry, this has been great. I would like to thank our producer, director, Nancy Boyarsky, who put this whole thing together.
And our traditional toast.
Our traditional toast to great elections, voting by mail. Let's hope they're honest.
And alternate universes.
And cheers. Okay. See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.